Namo Myoho Renge Kyo, Namo Myoho Renge Kyo, Namo Myoho Renge Kyo. Thank you for being here. Thank you for your practice. Thank you for liking and subscribing. It's a Bodhisattva act, helps grow the Kwon. There's some light rain. It's probably going to rain all week. You may hear it in the background if it gets like yesterday where it comes down really hard. It gets so noisy in here you can't hear me. So I may have to pause the recording right now. It's just a lovely little background noise, so hopefully that won't disturb you. All right, so where are we? We are reading through the Buddhism reference manual that I've been working on. We've gotten to, that's interesting. So, Four Noble Truths, Gohonzon, Gongyo, Habit Energy. We're now on this lovely term. And I debated whether I should include it or not, but it's so pervasive in the translations, I thought, might as well stick it in here. Yes, friends, it's that wonderful word, heaven. Well, it's probably no real translation for it in Prakrit, or the early languages of the teachings of Shakyamuni Buddha. But I'm going to give it a try so that we can at least get our minds around what is meant by the use of the word, right? All right, first thing, the realm of the universal forces. Without taking that apart too much, we all understand we live in a scientific world. We're not 27 centuries old. We understand how the cosmos works, certainly with reference to our lives, yeah? And we know a lot about it. And we know that there are universal forces, even if they're in question. We know there's such a thing as gravity. We know there's such a thing as motion, speed, time-space, even though there's a debate on whether time-space is a thing at all or simply the way our mind-brain deals with time, right? Moment to moment to moment to moment to moment. There's spaces in there. And if there's spaces, then there's a measurement. And we measure with something we call time. Okay, enough of that. The cleanup I need to do around here. Hopefully that won't skip frames. All right. So the realm of universal forces. A different way of thinking about heaven, right? It's really about how the universe works. The universe itself. The physical samsaric universe. That's where heaven is. It's not in some afterlife, some other place. It's right here and now. Again, Buddhism, about this life, right? Attitude, intent. Number two, another way of saying it is the skies and space-born personages. In other words, personifications of the universal forces, habit, energy, karma. Why did I throw that in there? Because it's so inculcated in our vernacular, in our language, in our television programs, in our commercials, in our social media, in our parlance, right? When I'm with you, it feels like we're in heaven, right? Well, we don't mean another place, some spiritual. Some people might, but that's delusion, right? What we do is we're talking about some exceptional experience. And in Buddhism, it's most often used to describe these personages, these forces, even from old Brahmic, even from Vedic religions, right? In the Brahmins' teachings, everything's a personage: Shiva, Shakti, the chaos, the pleasure, the Dionysian. For millennia, human beings have been trying to describe this. Well, in the 10 worlds, we have the world of rapture. What the hell is that? It's not some other place. It's just this intense sensation, right? And we tie that sensation to feelings, emotions. We can make them spiritual, but they're just human, sentient interpretations of sensations. The skandhas. All right, number three. a term infused by cultural traditions and poorly representations of Buddhist thoughts. That's a bad sentence. It's just poor representations of Buddhist thought. See, got a correction to make. Oh, and by the way, thank you, Catalina, for pointing out some grammatical errors. I appreciate it. There's a lot of people that are, well, a precious few of you are really taking this book to heart as far as a well-written document. I don't profess to be a writer, a professional writer, but so I really rely on your help in doing this. Catalina, Sandra, John, all of you have had input, and I value it greatly. So thank you. Just a moment to say that. All right, number four, a state of mental experience. See the 10 worlds, right? Rapture. And fifth and last, the entirety of the universe. See, if we think that way, every time we see the word heaven, we demysticize it. I'd rather the word weren't there. There are better terms to use that keep us in our Buddhist mindset, our Buddhist thought processes, yeah? But being as it shows up everywhere, I figured I'd make an attempt, yes? So here I go. I wrote a couple of paragraphs about it, not that long. I think you get it at this point, but I just wanted to solidify it a little bit. And I think at the end of the book, I have substitute word or term you could use for it and non-Buddhist terms that we see everywhere, right? The back of the book has a little kind of an appendix for that kind of thing. This word could easily be added to our list at the end of this book, here I am talking about it, of non-Buddhist terms to be avoided. Translators have used it repeatedly simply due to their lack of creativity and reliance on their cultural paradigms as good enough representations of Buddhist thought. In most cases, a better term would be universal or atmospheric influences, or perhaps some version of the engine of life and the realms it creates and exists within our minds, yeah? Although the closest representation is found in the teachings of the 3,000 realms in a single thought moment of life, right? That is the teaching that explores this fantastical ability of our sentient mind to interpret, to witness, to have sensations inform our attitudes and intent. 3,000 realms. We get a little taste of it in the 10 worlds or 10 realms, yes? But it extrapolates much larger for this very reason. It might be difficult to use this as a word replacement in current translations universally, right? Wherever you see heaven, just plug in 3,000 realms in a single thought moment. It might be a little tough. Heaven, this is one word things. That's why words like heaven are difficult to divorce ourselves from, yeah? Because they have such huge charismatic amalgams of different definitions and depends on your culture, your society, everything. So best to do away with it because it's just really confusing just as a term. But we're dealing with it, right? So next paragraph. Last paragraph. It would be useful to interpret the use of this word whenever it appears as a reminder that we are in close relation, some would say interpenetrated, with our environment and the exchange of influences from self to environment, others, etc., and into self from it. To better align heaven, quote-unquote, in our Buddhist practice, as the influence and presence of the environment, quote-unquote, as our codependent experience of life, can be of greater value to understanding of forces within our life rather than separate from it. See, this is the key point. Everything in Buddhism is about what's going on, just as Nichiren says. Don't look for this Gohanzen outside your flesh and blood. Because Buddhism is about what's going on in your mind. Your attitude, the way you experience things is everything. Why wouldn't it be? Right? So anything that proposes that something outside yourself is controlling what your mind experiences, that's a fallacy. It's slippery when we talk about self and environment because we're using language to define a duality. But the truth is, if you think about it just a little further, Buddhism specifically says there is no separation between, quote, self and, quote, environment. That's the primary illusion. It's not other. It's a relationship we have internally, subnuclearly, those forces that are heaven tries to put outside of ourselves are actually in our, they're part of what we are, right? Buddhahood is innate. Engine of life, innate. Karma, innate. We don't push it out into the world, and the world doesn't push it into us. We are a related totality, experiencing moment to moment those forces. Interpenetrated, interdependent. All right. To finish last sentence, life is to be experienced, quote unquote, in our moment to moment consciousness, mind, rather than seen as occurring or happening to us. See, that's the fallacy of duality or imposed upon us. This is always the challenge of language and cultural interpretations rife with the charisma of social traditions and appropriations. And I'll finish just by saying, Buddhism is about the mind, our attitude and intent, slash living this life with that consciousness, fully experiencing our life, fully expressed, right? So we don't miss anything. So we don't get to the last moments of our lives and think, I missed it. I was so busy being a this or that and collecting this or that, I forgot to live. We don't want to die that way. We want to go out knowing that we fully experienced our lives. That's what Buddhism is about. Right? Cast away the attachments. And if you know this, I mean, basic Buddhism 101, any school or group or sect that tells you that when you invoke your Buddhahood, Namo Myoho Renge Kyo, you should be wishing for stuff. What a nightmare that is. This is exactly what we're getting rid of. What are you doing? Oh, yeah. When you go to your mandala, and they call it, identify it incorrectly right away, ask your mandala for attachments. Get your cravings here. It's insanity. The first teachings of Buddha identify the four truths. Life is suffering. The reason life is suffering, because of cravings. You want to live your life fully? Stop the formations of those cravings. Oh, yeah. Well, just go chant to have more of your cravings. What? That's insanity, my friends. That sure as hell isn't Buddhism, right? When you go to chant, Namo Myoho Renge Kyo, enliven, awaken, simply, single-mindedly, achieve, attain, be with, meet Buddha. Open that Gohonzon mind gate and perceive your life through Buddha-ness. Everything else will just work out. No need for cravings. You're trying to end the cravings. Why are you chanting for them? Please, please, just make sense. Okay. Sorry, this came up again in emails, and it drives me crazy because I want you guys to succeed. This practice is about succeeding in exploring your full potential. Stop getting in your own way, yeah? Feel good about it. Feel convinced. Feel confident. Namo Myoho Rengekyo. Yeah. My Buddhiness doesn't give a flip about all these sillinesses of samsara. They'll just work themselves out. I don't have to worry. I just have to take all of those energies of worry and cravings and pour that energy, not what they are, but pour that energy into my single-minded practice. Namo Myoho Rengekyo. Time to wake up. Yeah? All right. I've been told sometimes I sound like a Baptist preacher. I don't know about that, but I'm just really passionate about your practice as well as mine. Doing it right. There is no other way, right? Okay. I hope this video found you in good health and secure. My heart wants you to succeed. My mind wants you to succeed. That's what this resource is for, the threefoldlotus.com resource. A lot of free info there. You can get to the ebooks quickly there. A lot of you are really telling me you're enjoying that. Thank you so much. I'm happy to be providing a good resource service, yeah, to support your practice. Lulu.com, still there if you like print books. And those of you who are making monthly commitments and occasional donations through Patreon and PayPal, you're keeping this alive. So, Bodhisattvas, you are. Thank you so much. And that's all I'll say for today. Yeah, I'm concluding. Next up will be hell or hells, another wonderful term. And we'll get to that. In the meantime, continue to take care of your health, please. Keep your practice strong. Be kind to yourself and others. And I'll see you then. Bye for now.